Well, it's good to see you this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. A few weeks ago, I dealt with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. I preached on this subject, a pattern of mercy. And I began to look at verse 15 in 1 Timothy, and I plan to preach out of that passage, verse 15. I planned to preach out of that tonight. And I began looking at that verse, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach on the last portion of verse 15 tonight, and then Lord willing, Sunday, I'll preach out of the whole verse, 1 Timothy. So we've been in 1 Timothy 1 for a few times here, but I tell you, I think that there's something that we need to consider. Before we look at this last part of 1 Timothy 1:15, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you for the evening and for this time to meet together. Lord, I am so thankful that you've allowed us to be here. Bless the service. May Christ be honored. And forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. The Apostle Paul is saying in that 15th verse, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he makes this statement, of whom I am chief. You know, when a man says or speaks of the greatest sinner, I've entitled this message, The Greatest Sinner Ever Saved. And when we start thinking about the greatest sinner, our minds would naturally go to someone that just a heinous, in our opinion, most evil, vile, wicked. I mean, it's got to be a Hitler or a Saddam Hussein. It's got to be some mass murderer, some wild, crazed rebel. I can't think of how vile someone must be to be the chief of sinners, the dreg of society, and of all history. Nobody would ever come to beat whoever that was. Paul the Apostle steps up under the inspiration of God's Spirit and says, I give place to no man. No man has this place except me, being the chief of sinners. My, what a work of grace. What a change a work of grace makes in a man. There was a time when, and according to the scriptures, this is the way that Paul the Apostle says that he was. There was a time when Paul saw himself as the chief of saints. There was no one, in Paul's opinion, better, more consistent, better positioned before God than he. Listen to what he said. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of God's chosen people, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, those that made claim that Jesus of Nazareth was God. He was going to get those that were of the way. Touching righteousness which in the law, which is in the law. Now listen to this word. Blameless. Paul said, you could not find one thing that I was inconsistent in when it comes to the law. I mean, we read that and we think, did he really think that? Yeah. Yeah. Saul of Tarsus considered himself to be like those that so many speak of with such fondness. I had someone tell me this yesterday about one of their relatives. And this is what they said. If anybody ever got in heaven, I know that my relative did. They were the finest person. Couldn't find anybody that had anything bad to say about them. They were always considerate. You know what I'm saying. If anybody ever got into heaven, they did. But now here is a man regenerated by the grace of God. This man, according to God's word, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to Ananias in Damascus, when the Lord said to Ananias, you go over to this house, there is one Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, we've heard of him. He's wreaking havoc with your people. And the Lord said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And that man, after God called him out of darkness, said this, I am the chief of sinners. Not was. He didn't say I was. Now he was before. You know, he was a blasphemer and he was a, you know, injurious and he, you know, wreaked havoc on God's. He didn't say I was the chief of sinners. Though he was. But he said concerning sinners, he said of whom I am chief. Here's a man born of God, one that possesses a new nature, one that God has imparted his spirit, one in whom God himself dwells. The scripture, you know this, the scripture says that man, that which is born of God, concerning sin. Now, what does the scripture say? Doth not sin. That which is born of God doth not sin. Why? For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot. That which is born of God cannot sin. Because he's born of God. That's 1 John 3:9. That which is born of God sinneth not. He cannot. Now here's a man, on the other hand, that cannot not sin. Here's one that cannot do anything but sin and one that cannot sin. Two natures. And that new man is speaking when he says, of whom I am chief concerning being a sinner. Here's a new man speaking of himself. Now, I began to read that this morning, and I wondered. I've read it, and I thought, I know this for a fact. I know that it wasn't. When Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, I know that he was not saying that he loved sin. I know that. I know that he was not saying that he gloried in sin. I know that. Now, here's what he said in Romans 7:15. He said, for what I would, and that word would there means no. He said, what I know, that is concerning obedience, righteousness, holiness, consistency, what I know, what I would, that do I not. Now, this is a believer talking. But what I hate, let me ask you this, what do you hate? Don't you hate inconsistency before God? Don't you hate disobedience? Don't you hate that? He said, but what I hate, that do I. That's what I do. Here's a sinner that God has imparted his spirit. A sinner that's spoken of like in Ezekiel 36:27. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. You're going to walk in my statutes. You're going to keep my judgments. And you're going to do them. You're going to do them. And here is a man that God has given a heart just like that. What is that right there? They believe God. This is the essence of obedience. Abraham believed God. And here is this man that has cast himself upon Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? Who are you? I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. Lord, what would you have me to do? Here was the Apostle Paul looking for the sure return of the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting on him, hearing his voice. He said, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Obviously, Paul knew something about himself. And I wanted to look into scriptures and find out, what is it? What is it? What does Paul say that he saw in himself and others like him? Right here, us, right here that know it. What is it about a man or woman regenerated by the grace of God that causes them to say they are the chief of sinners? Well, here's the first thing I know. The chief of sinners realizes something now of his former ignorance of God's law. Now, this is what I mean. Listen to this scripture. Romans 7:9-10. For I was alive without the law once. When Paul said concerning the law, I was blameless. This is what he's talking about. I saw myself as alive spiritually. Because of my consistency and obedience. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came in regenerating grace, sin revived and I died in the commandment which was ordained to life. I found to be unto me death. The commandment which was ordained to life, do and live. You know, keep the Ten Commandments, you do and live. That which was ordained to life, I found to be unto me death. For sin taken the occasion by the commandment deceived me. Sin deceived me. And it slew me. Before I was pretty good. And now I offend in every point. Without a spiritual knowledge of God's holiness, the holiness of God's law, a realization of my inability to keep it. Sin is present, but a believer doesn't see it. How many unbelievers do you know that are just tore all to pieces about their inconsistency? How many unbelievers do you know that they're just grieved over their disobedience before God? How many do you know? None. Now listen, I'm just honest. An unbeliever just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He hears what I'm saying to him. He fancies himself to be somehow alive before God. He justifies it in his mind. But when the Spirit of God imparts life and gives a new heart, creates that new man in Christ Jesus, that regenerated sinner now sees the evil of his old man. He realizes, I was born dead in Adam and dead to God. The chief of sinners sees something now of the holiness of God's law. This is what the chief of sinners says. I can't keep it. I just, God's law is holy and just and good. He sees as the chief of sinners, secondly, not only the effects of sins outwardly, but the root of it is right here still with me. Romans 7:21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. A believer sees that battle that's going on, and he sees the wretchedness of what he is inside. And he wills, and he has a sincere urge to be perfect. What believer here does not want to be perfect and walk perfectly before God? There's not a believer in this congregation this morning, tonight, that's saying, well, it doesn't really matter to me how I walk before God. I mean, I'm okay. It doesn't matter. Not a believer. Every believer is tore all to pieces. He realizes, I just don't have any power to carry out what I really love. That old wretched sinner struggles within, crying from the very depths of his being. The new man cries and says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul realized, he said, I've sinned against light. Brings me to my third point. The chief of sinners, now here's the chief of sinners. He recognizes something about how inconsistent he is. That's the chief of sinners. Here was an example concerning Paul. Paul said, I'm just like this. I'm another apostle, one just like Paul, Peter. The Lord said to Peter one day, he said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, not he was already converted spiritually, but when you're taught concerning what I'm telling you, Peter, when you become learned, when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. Because you're going to know something, Peter, about what I'm talking about right now. You know, you don't really know anything that you've not experienced. If you're going through something, a trial, a tribulation, and I've been there, and I tell you, I know how you feel, and you think to yourself, you know what, he does know how I feel. He's been there. But if I don't have any knowledge of it, I don't know. Peter, when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and death. And the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Now you listen, Peter. You listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about something that is going to happen in months or months and months or years from now. I'm talking about today. The cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that you know me. You'll deny me three times. You'll tell people, I don't know you. That very day, Peter crossed the path of a little maid, and she earnestly looked upon him as he sat by the fire, and soon she said, this man was also with him. And Peter denied, saying, woman, I know him not. I don't know him. Not very long after, another one said, thou art also with him. And Peter said, man, I'm not. And about the space of an hour, the scripture says, another confidently affirmed, saying of truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he was talking, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here's the chief of sinners. This is what the chief of sinners does. He finds himself often, truthfully, always, knowing to do the right thing and not doing it. He knows the right thing, and he doesn't do it. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it's rebellion against God. To know the right thing to do, whatever it is, whatever the right thing to do. Luke 5, the Lord was preaching one day to a group of people. He finished preaching and he said, Simon, they were in a boat. Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Simon, drop your nets over here. Simon answering unto him said, Master, I can just imagine. I mean, this is me. This is my attitude. I'll go ahead and admit it. Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Lord, this is what I'm a professional. Lord, I've done this. Lord, I've done that. Lord, I've been here. Lord, I've been doing this. I've just, you know. And the leadership of God's Spirit says, I want you to do this. But Lord, that is in my mind now. I would never say this outwardly. But I'm just thinking, this is not consistent with what I would feel is the right thing to do. This doesn't fit the way I see things going. This is not what you're directing or what you're leading me to do here. Is this is not right. Lord, we've toiled all night. I'm tired. And we've not caught anything. We fished this. We fished it. This spot is not good. Nevertheless, at thy word, it's almost, I can see sarcasm. I can see doubt. I can see, you know, they let down the nets. And the scripture says they enclosed such a great multitude of fish that their nets broke. They beckoned for their partners in the other ship, come help them. They came and filled both ships to the point of sinking. All of that arguing, all of that bickering, all of that doubt in his mind. And I don't know why you would have me do this. This is not the way I had it planned. And here comes all this abundance of yield. And the scripture says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Why did I ever doubt you? Why did I question you? Lord, I feel so unworthy to be in your presence. I find myself coming to a point of being embarrassed. Forgive me. I am so sorry. I've acted so disrespectfully in your sight. In that moment, Peter knew, I've doubted you and I've exalted myself. He felt unworthy the way it acted in the light of God's word. Now let me ask you this in closing. Would you desire to see something of the characteristic of the chief of sinners? This is what he's like in closing. He realizes how ignorant he was before God saved him, but how ignorant he is right now. Job 8:9, "For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. And concerning our daily life, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. This way I got it planned. I'm going to come in that city and I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to make money. We're going to have a big bank account. I've got it computed out. And we're going to do this, that, and the other." How do you know? Listen to this scripture. What we ought to say concerning tomorrow is, if the Lord will. I read these next three words a few minutes ago sitting in my study here, and I just had to underline these next few words. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you don't even know if you're going to see the light of morning. The chief of sinners knows, I've been way too presumptuous on God. Way too presumptuous. He sees his outward failures and knows it's because of continual presence of sin within. He sees the inconsistency of his walk. But I can tell you this concerning the chief of sinners. He knows that he has no other hope but God's mercy in Christ. He's going to say like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." If he kills me tonight, where else am I going to go? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? He has one consolation for life eternal. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And I don't have any confidence in my flesh. Concerning the characteristics of the chief of sinners, let me ask all of us, every believer, are we not the chief of sinners? What was different, Paul, than us? Would you find yourself saying, "Paul, I esteem you more highly than myself. Paul, the things I've read of concerning your consistency in these scriptures, I've never seen myself do that." Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Blessed is the man that sees himself the chief of sinners. One that needs a Savior. "I need the Lord to save me." Blessed is the chief of sinners that is done with self-admiration and self-justification. Blessed is the man, the chief of sinners, that cannot do anything to establish salvation before God. You see yourself like this, and I've got some good news for you. You're the one that Christ came to save. Lord, bless the word to our heart. Amen.